2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scotty Mitchell here and Alex Carey. You can't be Alexy, right? Scotty, Alexy, Carey? No. Alex Carey.
My dad used to just call me Al.
Did he?
A lot of my family would call me Al. You know, Big Al. A lot of Big Al.
Yeah, I could see that. You've kind of got an owl look to you.
An owl look?
An owl.
Kind of round.
Owl.
Yeah, Al's kind owl. Of a... Wasn't I'm Owl. Trying to think. So there's Cliff, Owl. Cliff Clavin, and then who was the other? And then who's the other guy? Norm. See, that's kind of an Al or a Norm type
Norm,
looking guy.
Yeah, all right, I can see that.
Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. As Scott said, we've got some stuff to break down from Media Day. Still, I wanted to just while things are fresh, I get the interpretation from Scott on some of these things. So I'm going to go to Aaron Roderick. I was asking him about this. Was like the. This was one today that it was an eye-opening response from Aaron Roderick, the offensive coordinator. He's been the passing game coordinator for the last few years. This is his fourth year, by the way, at BYU. It's insane that it's already gone that quickly.
That's really quick.
But Aaron Roderick, passing game coordinator the last couple of years, and now he's the offensive coordinator. He's the guy. Passing coordinator now is Fessy Satake, who's also the wide receivers coach. And they're super excited about this group. The tight ends are really, really good, and they're all coming back. The question's going to be about the quarterback still, obviously. But Aaron Roderick, I asked him about that, what it was going to actually look like the transition of him being, you know, not just the passing game coordinator now, but the offensive coordinator. He's the boss now, and how that's going to change his responsibilities. Take a listen.
My role is not much different, to be honest with you. We had six coaches on offense last year, so we had one extra coach, and Grimes was a roamer. He didn't necessarily have a position. He had a big hand in the offensive line, obviously. He's a great O-line coach, but my role is very similar to what it was a year ago, and I tried hard to not change things much. You know, we have a good staff. Our guys know their jobs. The way the responsibilities amongst the staff are delegated are going to stay the same for the most part. Fessy already had a big hand in our passing game, and now he's got a title next to his name now, but his role is pretty much the same as it already was. And so, you know, I think changing things up after as good as we were on offense would be a mistake. We're going to run the same offense. We're going to have the same staff responsibilities. We'll have wrinkles. You know, we're not going to just do exactly the same things all the time, but I anticipate our offense being very similar and the way we operate as a staff being very similar to how it's been.
It sounds like Aaron Roderick was the offensive coordinator.
It almost sounded like he was like kind of dissing on
a little bit, yeah,
on Grimes a little bit,
yeah. And I don't think it was a surprise to anyone that this was happening. I mean, Jeff Grimes, and I've said it before. You don't want an offensive line coach as your offensive coordinator if you're a quarterback. And it clearly, when he was calling the plays, was so much more run heavy. And you know, you can understand why. I mean, when you know something and you're comfortable with it, like running the football, I mean, that's what you're going to get. And I think Aaron brings more of a more balance, and it's nice when you can have that O-line coach who says what's working in the running game, or let's coordinate this. But it's really hard for someone who only knows one side of it to go to the other. It's just much easier if you have someone who understands the passing game making those calls and being the chief offensive coordinator.
I thought it was interesting how he rolled it out, where he was like,
it was weird. Very weird.
My role is the exact same.
Yeah.
I was the offensive coordinator last year.
Right.
Like, I was the offensive coordinator the last couple of years. That's what it sounded like. I mean, we had six offensive coaches, so we have, you know, Grimes. Yeah, he kind of was a roamer. He did a really good job. He's a great offensive line coach. But, I mean, he threw all those things in there that made it sound like – and maybe it was to establish himself as, look, don't think this is my first rodeo. Don't think that I'm some new guy doing this gig. We all knew that he was calling plays.
Right.
We should know to what extent. We thought that there was some weird shared play calling responsibility. Makes it sound like it was not any
that
of
never
that
happens.
That it was like,
and it wasn't happening. And
do you want to do a run play now, or do you want to do a pass play? Oh, you go ahead. That'd be fun.
I think it speaks a lot about Jeff Grimes.
He got a job at Baylor. He's a P5 offensive coordinator now.
But aside from that, it's like a lot of Eagles would say, I'm out the door.
I'm never doing it.
And maybe he was trying to look for a way out. I don't know. But clearly it worked well for
Pretty
BYU
wild.
You know, last year. But
I like it.
Just the fact that he could, I don't know, subjugate his ego.
I'm proud of you for using subjugate.
I know, so was I.
You're all proud of yourself. I know. Isn't that nice? It's a good one.
That might be the most interesting thing that came out of just the BYU media day.
Well,
today.
To hear just his, like, the way he rolled it out was interesting.
Well,
like,
A-Rod was the roving coach. I mean, he was the extra coach they hired. Grimes was the offensive coordinator.
Right, and obviously they couldn't just go, hey, dude, like, you're not the offensive coordinator anymore. They didn't want to shake it up that much. But, I mean, obviously, BYU fans should be excited because the guy who's been – I mean, BYU was 43.5 points a game last year. And so if he's not going to change much because, you know, they feel like they can do everything else that they were doing last year with the quarterbacks that they have in front of them and the stacked wide receiver, tight end, and running back group, then there you go. I asked Kalani Sitake something, Scott, and it was about just kind of to be a little bit introspective about his time. He's going to kick off this year down in Las Vegas. He was rolled out as the new head coach down in Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Bowl when BYU lost to Utah down in the Royal Purple Las Vegas Bowl. You and I are both at that game. And I was just like, hey, so where was your thought process there, and where is it now, and what have you learned? And here's what Coach had to say about it.
I'm older, and I think you learn as you get the experience. It's like the I've compared it to having kids. You can study all about it. You can even babysit. And then when you have your own kids, it changes everything. And so going into it, I knew what I wanted to do as a head coach. And when I got the head coaching job, I had an idea of how it was going to be. And a lot of it was what I thought, but a lot of it was different. And so I think fatherhood's the best experience for me to explain it to, because now that I'm a part of it, it's like I feel like I'm in a really good spot right now. There's sometimes as a father when you have young kids, changing diapers was never my strong suit. And so there's some things as a head coach where there's some things that I know I lack. But fortunately, I have great support. Just like in my marriage, I had a great wife that could take care of all my weaknesses.
I was this close to saying, so who's your wife on the coaching staff?
Yeah,
I thought that
she's a roaming coach. She roams everywhere. She's kind of special
like,
duties.
Know, I'm going to hang off on that one.
Yeah, look, I had a master's degree in diaper changing, and a great analogy there. But the thing about Kalani Sitake, I'm not sure that there's a coach that was put in a tougher position to win than to be the head football coach at BYU. I mean, you got challenges with recruiting. You got challenges with the restrictions, the honor code. It's a challenge for a football coach. It's very hard to deal with that. And then the independence is brutal. I mean, I don't know that anyone would want to do that, would want that. And he has weathered this masterfully. And then to have one of the greatest players in BYU football history have to fire him in Ty Detmer, that's a tough beginning. And I think through those experiences and through all of it, Kalani has weathered it well, and he really has maturity. You can see it. He's gotten more comfortable. He's gotten more savvy as a coach, and in a very, very tough situation. I mean, if anyone should be coach of the year, it should be Kalani Sitake, because he's got a tough ask to do there at BYU. This thing changes here in a few years, and it could get real exciting for the BYU faithful.
I'm excited because I'm really interested to see what is going to happen. You can tell he is way more relaxed. He doesn't have the pressure that he had in those prior years of, you know, maybe trying to get that contract extension. Or, I mean, the light was out of his eyes in that 4-9 season. You go 9-4, and when he had that 4-9 season, like, his attitude changed completely. And he's back to feeling like it feels like he's the boss of this entire thing. He always has been, but he feels so much more confident now. I'm interested to see where he's going to take everything. All right, we're going to take the break here. When we come back, guess what? It's going to be our NFL roundup. So we'll do that. We'll come back. We'll have our NFL roundup, our 2-minute drill after that. Stay with us. Right around the corner. News, traffic, weather right now, and then more to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.